Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is John Batchelor, a conversation with my colleagues at WOR 710 AM in New York City, Len Berman and Michael Riedel, about the situation, what little we understand of the situation in Gaza, anticipating perhaps an offensive, perhaps a bad turn in the road in which the North would explode. Fog of war. This is a brief exchange. I mention the many times I've been to Gaza and broadcast from inside Gaza, and what I've learned over the years of the challenge of combat in Gaza, not only for these last decades, but also for hundreds, thousands of years. Gaza's been part of the story of the unsettled Middle East. Here's WOR, Len Berman, Michael Riedel, and my responses. Thank you.
You're listening to Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on the Voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Hey, I'd like to welcome in one of our colleagues here at 710 WOR, John Batchelor. He's a host and a radio host and author, of course. Eye on the World with John Batchelor is his program right here on 710, weeknights from 9 to midnight. As we welcome you in, John, I know most of your discussion each night has been the war in Israel. You're well read on the subject. You have a lot of important opinions. Let's start with today's news, John. The president's going there. What do you make of Biden showing up in Israel tomorrow?
It's very significant. Good morning to you. The significance is added upon by the fact that Mr. Putin's headed to Beijing to meet with Mr. Xi sometime in these next hours, and the Secretary General of the United Nations, Mr. Guterres, is headed to Egypt to talk to President Sisi about opening the Rafah crossing. So adversaries and peacemakers in motion means, generally speaking, historically speaking, a bad road ahead.
John, where do you stand on whether or not Israel should go in with ground troops in Gaza? I see a number of New York Times columnists, particularly Tom Friedman, saying this would be the biggest mistake for Israel to make. It's a trap. They shouldn't go into Gaza. What do you make? What do you make of that?
Fog of war. So I hesitate to be an armchair tactician. Strategically, we're looking at a quandary that's been with us for decades. To be solved in the next days or weeks seems unlikely. I've been to Gaza. I broadcast from inside Gaza during the handover. More than half the strip, and it's beachfront property. It's beautiful. Rolling sand dunes. More than half of it is open space, the south, where the residents have evacuated. The Rafah crossing into Sinai is right there. The fact that Egypt has not opened the Rafah crossing is both a puzzle and a tragedy. However, the Gaza city itself has stood below the towers in peaceful moments over these last decades. The Gaza towers themselves are a warren of streets and roads and buildings sort of haphazardly put up around the towers. And I understand over the years what Hamas has done is used the citizens of the Gaza towers in that part, the North Gaza, as human shields. And it's been very effective. Is the IDF doesn't intend to combat Hamas hiding or shooting from behind human beings. The evacuation does appear to lighten that burden on the IDF, does appear that way. At the same time, urban fighting, the history books say it, is the hardest of all. And we're looking at a situation that would be weeks because of the tunnels underneath the North Gaza. perhaps hundreds of kilometers of tunnels. I do know that the water table in Gaza is 100 feet, very, very low, considering it's right up against the sea. That means in those 100 feet, the tunnels go this way and that way. They have power, they have electricity, they have food, they have water, and they have hostages. I'm not answering you. I'm describing the scale of the hesitation that you can read in all the newspapers, not just here in America, but in Europe, not only for the people who are in the tunnels or in the towns, but also for the IDF that would have to go in there. Very, very challenging.
We're on with John Batchelor. Of course, he hosts Eye on the World with John Batchelor every weeknight here on 710 WOR from 9 to midnight. John, do you think there's any hope for the hostages to come out safe?
Yes, I do. And again, this is history. The carte blanche that the killers have is those hostages. Once they're gone, they have no shield whatsoever. And Israel is then licensed to destroy those tunnels, which I think must happen at some point. I visited Gaza right after the war in 2014. Those tunnels can run well into the Negev. I sat with a farmer once in one of the kibbutzes outside the Gaza in 2014, and she explained how they had heard scratching underneath right before the terror tunnels were used for the first time in 2014. Those tunnels are the tool of war that Hamas counts on to attack and kill Israelis, and also to hide themselves, protected from the IDF and the IAF bombing. Those tunnels must be destroyed.
But John, why would Hamas give up the hostages if they know giving up the hostages will take away their shield and Israel will go to those tunnels?
I don't think they'll give them up. I think they'll keep them alive. I don't know the next part. We have Uganda, Idi Amin. The Israelis had to go in, and a few hostages were never seen from again, but they got them out once they were able to secure the facility many decades ago. But I don't know whether it can work like that this time. 198 people are said to be in custody with gangsters who have no exit unless they are going to leave with the evacuation from the south. There is a moment where the Rafah crossing could be open to Americans. I don't know about Palestinians. I just don't know. We're in fog of war, guys. That's what I'm trying to express, my hesitation. I don't want to sound certain of anything.
Sure. We hear you. We thank you for your expertise. I wasn't aware that you had visited there and gave us firsthand knowledge of Gaza City. So, John Batchelor, check out The Eye on the World with John Batchelor weeknights right here on 710 from 9 to midnight. Thank you, John. Appreciate your input.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.